Okay, I would just like to point out that when that song started, I kind of made a face, and there's a camera in here that's focused on me, that so that Esmeralda in the hut and Vic in the newsroom can see me to make sure that I'm here. And Vic saw my facial expression when the song started, and Vic, you immediately go, "Yeah, Glass Tiger."
Explain why. What's your hate of Glass Tiger, man?
Well, you just heard that, didn't you?
Was that the only song he ever came out
I
with?
I think that's the only hit they ever had. But
it's all he needed. It was a magnificent song.
Vic Vaughn, everybody, the president of the Glass Tiger fan club. It's Canadian Bill requested that. And that's a good kickoff to Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. Text them at 312-981-7200. Any song, any artist, anything. Canadian Bill, who I like to refer to as Shatner, requested Glass Tiger and their song Don't Forget Me. He adds, now this I didn't know. Vic, did you know this, being the connoisseur of Glass Tiger that you are? Did you know that Bryan Adams once sang backup for them?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. In that song.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, that song could only be successful when it came out in that period, right? In the 80s. And at the time, I was living in California. Perfect. We were driving around on mopeds with spiked hair and rolled pants around our ankles. I mean, this is we would sit down and protest when a rock song would play at a high school concert. I mean, Glass Tiger was...
Wow.
Perfect timing.
Now, see, I wasn't aware that Bryan Adams sang backup for the, and I'm a fan of Bryan Adams.
Yeah, the part where it goes, "My heart would break," that's Bryan Adams.
I'm sorry, Vic. I'm amazed by your knowledge of Glass Tiger.
Well, I had an older sister, too, at the time, and uh-huh. She was probably my biggest influence on music, so we've talked about
she this. Was a big fan of Glass Tiger.
Duran Duran, and sure. She loved Glass Tiger.
Jeez. Esmeralda, are you familiar with Glass Tiger?
I have no idea what that is.
No. Well, just ask Vic. He's got all the facts you need.
She probably still has the record,
that's
Esmeralda,
fantastic.
If you want to borrow it.
Yeah. I'm good.
You sure? I mean, after it didn't entice you, Don't Forget Me didn't entice you to become a member of the Glass Tiger fan club?
Not really.
Well,
no,
you
thank
haven't
you.
Seen his mullet.
Yeah, maybe that'll bring me in.
That'll do it.
It was a good one.
Yeah. That was back in the 80s when I had a mullet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did. You know why? Bono had a mullet, and it was cool then. Like in 1985, if you look at Bono at Live Aid, if you look at footage from Live Aid, it was July of 1985, that is a magnificent mullet, a full-on mullet. And at that time, Bono was like the coolest dude on the planet in the world of music. So, like, a bunch of us were like, "Oh, look, I want Bono hair."
Right, but you did not have Bono hair. Just going to say that.
Have you seen Bono?
Everyone who's like, "Yeah, I'm going to get that mullet like Bono." Nope. Just because it looked good on Bono.
No, it didn't look good on Bono.
It looks good on everyone
else. It didn't look good on Bono. We didn't know that then. We know that now. You look at Bono circa 1985, he looks like an idiot.
Then you're all fools.
Well, yeah.
Following Bono.
Yeah.
Did you jump off a bridge if Bono jumped off?
Absolutely. Yeah, but no, a lot of people, you know that. That's how fashion works, Esmeralda.
No.
Yes. People look at somebody and go, "Oh, that looks good." And then 20 years later, you go, "Oh, my God, what was I thinking?" That's what it looks like. You know, like 20 years from now, people are going to be like, "Hey, what's going on with those, with the Ugg boots? Those are stupid."
Those have always been stupid.
Well, everybody wore them. Like in the mid-2000s, every woman had a pair of them. Like every celebrity, if you saw a picture of them walking down the street, they all had Ugg boots on. I think Kate Hudson probably has stock in Ugg boots.
We talk about celebrity crushes.
Did you have a celebrity? What was your celebrity crush?
Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson, really?
Amazing.
Wow. All right.
Let's move on.
Yeah, please. Kate Hudson and Glass Tiger, everybody. That's our newsman. Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you, Canadian Bill, for reminding us of Glass Tiger and making Vic a very happy man on this Wednesday morning.
Thank you, Canada.
Brian Adams, Canadian, and evidently so is Glass Tiger. And then, but Brian Adams, yeah. I still can't believe he sang backup. Here's the weird thing. By the time that song came out, that Glass Tiger song came, Brian Adams was huge. He was huge.
You doing him a favor?
Maybe it was like a guest appearance. You know how rappers appear now on everybody? There's like 26 different rappers on one song now. Was it like Brian Adams? All right, I'll do Glass Tiger a favor. Because that song came out, what, 85, 86 maybe?
Fellow countrymen.
Yeah. What would you say, 85, 86? Does that sound about right, Vic?
Yeah.
Is he the Michael Jackson to Rockwell?
To Rockwell? To Rockwell.
I was thinking the same thing as well. It's around that same time probably, right?
It was when somebody's watching. The Rockwell song was 1983. I remember that. And I don't know, Glass Tiger was later, a couple of years later, 85, 86.
But that could be the only reason why they made
it. But Brian Adams. In 85, 86, Brian Adams was huge at that point. Like, he didn't need Glass Tiger.
But Glass Tiger needed him.
Dan, do you have any?
Released in January 1986.
Okay.
Glass Tiger chose Jim Vallance to produce the band's debut album. At the time, Vallance was primarily known as a songwriter, having written mostly frequently and successfully with Brian Adams, who brought him on board to sing backup in Don't Forget Me, parentheses, When I'm Gone, end parentheses.
Okay. So Jim Vallance, who wrote, you know, as Dan just said, Jim Vallance wrote a lot of Brian Adams hits.
Brilliant.
Vic, do you know the story of the Brian Adams concert that I went to with my friends?
Give me a context. All right. Because I know I've heard a
concert. My friend Scott Oaken, who's a large gentleman. He's a very large gentleman. And about three of my other friends, we all went to go see. We were at the Rosemont. And at this time, we had really great seats. We were like in the 10th row. And they had folding chairs, metal chairs on the floor, as you know, as you do when you go to these concerts. And at the concert, everybody was standing on their chairs, so it was like the whole main floor was standing up on their chairs, rocking out. We're rocking out, and all of a sudden we hear and we feel like a vibration, and Scott busted through his chair. He was rocking so hard, he busted through his chair. The chair collapsed. He busted the chair. So we had to scoot down a little bit. So he gets on another chair. We're rocking. Everything's rocking. All of a sudden, kablam, he busts through another chair. And so now we move down. Now we're trying to balance because, you know, he's destroyed two chairs now. So now we're just balancing, trying to all squeeze together. And we're rocking out. And he went through another chair. He went through three. He busted three chairs. And the concert was Brian Adams, and the opening band was the Hooters. Do you remember the Hooters?
I do not.
And we danced like a wave of emotion, romance. We were liars in love. You know that song?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the Hooters. They had a few hits. So he busted one chair during the Hooters and two chairs during Brian Adams. That's how hard my friend Scott Oaken was jamming.
And
he busted the first chair during And We Danced, when the Hooters, their closing song was And We Danced, he busted the chair. During the second chair was destroyed during Run to You, Brian Adams' song Run to You. And the third was destroyed during the summer of 69. So he busted three chairs that night, destroyed them. That's how hard my friend Scott Oaken rocks when he wants to rock.
You know what I take from this story?
What?
You move with your friend, your big friend. When he breaks chairs, you move with him. You stick. It's like a pack.
Yeah.
And you guys stuck with him.
We didn't
abandon him. You didn't stay in your chair and say, go find another one. You went with him.
Well, we all sort of just like, we snuggled together because we had to balance. There were four guys. By the end of the show, there were four guys on two chairs.
Balancing gets difficult as the night goes on, too. for very obvious reasons.
There was, if I'm not mistaken, there was no drinking. going on at this show. If I'm not, I don't think we were drinking. We weren't. I know we weren't drunk. We may have had one or two beers, but we weren't drinking. So, no, we couldn't have had beers. I think it was in 85. I was 20, so I couldn't legally get a beer, and I never had a fake ID. So anyway, and every time I tell that story, the payoff is that, you'd think we were at like a Metallica show or something. He busted three chairs at a Metallica show. That makes sense. No, it was the Hooters and Bryan Adams. That's the ridiculous payoff of that story. Is that, no, in fact, it wasn't Slayer. We weren't watching Slayer. We were watching the Hooters when he busted through a chair. All right. We just killed an entire segment talking about Glass Tiger. That's fantastic.
And a grateful nation just to our north thanks you.
All right. Thank you, Shatner. All right. We got a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Academy Award nominations and the fact that some amazing actors and actresses have never been nominated. All that and more. If you want to jump in with your thoughts on the Academy Awards, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. I was going to read something that I had the wrong piece of paper in my hand. Now I got it. I'm all just confused now, Dan. I've been completely confused by Glass Tiger.
They are a mesmerizing bunch, apparently.
All right.